Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
In the second half, we have very funny comedian Matthew Broussard, who's going to join us, and we'll do the news as well. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It was weird watching the reversal during the pandemic, like in my friends. Like, it was the friend, my friends who were most adamant about COVID safety were like the social justice ones, you know, like the anti-slut shaming, anti-body shaming, anti-victim shaming. And I got COVID last June, and they were like, what were you wearing that you got COVID? Were you wearing a mask? Was it a big mask? One of those little skimpy ones with your nose poking out, you little whore?
Matthew Broussard on the Adam Carolla Show.
Very good observation, Matthew. It's so true. The can't judge people started fucking judging like insane maniacs during COVID. What happened to all the you can't judge? It was all the exact people have been force feeding that shit down your gullet for the last 20 years of no judging, cannot judge, nothing but judgment. I had a friend couldn't fucking jog through Santa Monica without a mask, without all the judgment from the people who couldn't ever judging.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they've all backpacked. I don't think anyone likes masks anymore. I think even my most like mask like obsessive friends are like, yeah, well, what were we even doing?
Mask fatigue.
Mask fatigue.
Well, like the 158th time I heard from somebody say to me, I did everything right. And it's like, but I still got COVID. That was like, you're making my argument now, brother.
Yeah.
So very funny. I was watching Matthew's specials on Fallon last night. Saw another funny special as well. I was watching all the clips. So very funny stuff. A podcast. She Does Stand Up Too is the name of the podcast. You do it with your girlfriend. And the clips I was watching, you were talking about your girlfriend who of 5 years, or at least at the time.
Yeah.
It's probably been longer now.
Now it's six. Yeah. Yeah.
We're and up. How she's successful.
She's doing so. She's like 3 years into stand up. She was formerly a professional swimmer when we met. She has a great day job in tech, and she started doing stand up 3 years after we started dating, which is weird and wonderful. It makes me feel like a dad.
Yeah, I often think as somebody who deals with a lot of people, and we were just talking about talkers versus doers.
Yeah.
You give me the background of military. Like, I've never talked to a Navy SEAL that I didn't fucking love because they're the ultimate doer and non-talker. And then wrestling at a high level is another one of those things where you want to hire that person because you know where they are. But swimming, I never really thought about that. Like, you have to have credible mind control swim.
I'm a talker. She's a doer. She would, yeah, she woke up at 5 a.m. to practice drowning for 20 years. She's just an obsessive person. There's just that's the thing with her of like, it's not talk about getting it done, just get it done, fix it, figure it out. And I'm, you know, I got into stand-up comedy because my words are better than my actions.
Well, you know, if you think about it, I was thinking about this the other day. Exercise, repetitive motion stuff. Like running on a treadmill, you know, or just the soul cycle or whatever you're into, or just long distance running or rowing, whatever. Right. The super repetitive shit. You start going nuts about 7 minutes in, you know what I mean? And then there's people can do it for 2 hours, you know, and you go, what the fuck? But you have the advantage now. If you're running on the treadmill or whatever it is, rowing, jogging, you have your earbuds in and you're listening to some book or some podcast or something and it can keep
time
you from
flies
going
by.
When you're in the fucking pool,
No music.
No TV.
Nothing
no,
to watch.
No monitor. No earbuds. No music. No,
no oxygen.
No oxygen. You're just staring at a tiled wall that you're getting marginally closer to before you go back and do the exact same fucking thing 3,000 times.
2 hours.
So that person has incredible control over their mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
The part that impresses me the most with her is, like, I can kind of understand doing the workouts, but the amount of discipline you need once you get out of the pool and then go stretch and then go do weights and make sure you eat well all day and make sure you go to sleep, you don't stay up too late watching YouTube videos, that's the real discipline. What you do in the downtime, the good habits you have during the day, because we all have those moments of weakness after the workout where you can kind of undo all of the good you put in.
The swimming's the excuse. Hey, I already swam for 2 hours a day. Fuck you.
Yeah, 20 minutes of cardio and I'm eating whatever I want.
So does this manifest itself in many different ways in her life?
Yes, yes. It's I feel a lot of pressure to do well in everything I do, to live up to her expectations.
Maybe being judged a little bit around the house?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's her, you know, I respect that. I want to be more like her, you know. You know, pressure makes diamonds. But it also causes minds to collapse. And like she has, I'll call it out, she has more breakdowns than me because she deals with a lot of anxiety. Kind of how she was raised with swimming, you have to have this feeling that if you slip up a little bit, everything's going to fall apart. Because if you logically look at your life, you're like, why am I doing all this? But you have to become a little crazy. So she carries that with her. Everything's high stakes. Everything's life or death. And I'm like depressive a little. Like, I just get down on myself and then don't do anything all day. Whereas the more frustrated she gets, the more she does, which makes her more frustrated. So she spins out and I just wallow in self-pity.
You know what we need in life and out of partners is the partner equivalent to the German Shepherd that's in the back of the Forbes magazine for $25,000. Which is the picture is the kids hugging the dog while the dog sits on the lawn. Like, the dog looks like it's keeping a vigil, but they have the 4-year-old with his arm around it.
Kids.
Yeah.
But some fucking nut job hops the fence.
Oh,
fucking going to disembowel.
Yep.
So you got that laid back with the kids. Unfortunately, partners are hard.
Yeah.
You either get the fucking dog and they're biting your ass. and mauling the kids, or you got my dog, which is stretched out on the sofa farting somewhere, and I didn't care who breaks. You know, old Manson family could move into my house, and Phil would go make friends with them.
Yeah,
trying
just
to get
lick
food,
their hands.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, Tex, you got a treat? You got a treat, Tex? So what we're asking for in people is turn it on, then fucking turn it off when you're with the when you're hanging.
Right.
But it's hard to get the people that are on to go off.
Yeah.
Right.
And but the people we love the most are those people.
Yeah. Like The Rock. The Rock is a guy who is just like, when you see him in interviews, he's happy-go-lucky. I'm sure if you see him in the gym, he's screaming and throwing weights around.
You're
he
right.
has two switches.
And then he's got his cheat day meals. You know what I mean?
He's just like us.
I hate to bring it up so often, but like, I love Mark Geragos for that reason. He's a fucking, like, a tiger in the courtroom and stuff, but nobody better to have a fucking drink with.
But in the green room.
Yeah, just fucking shoot the shit with. Like, you want that focus and that energy, and then that's, you want my Labrador when you're hanging, and then you want that German Shepherd when the shit goes down.
It's what I like in entertainers. That's why I'm, like, really captivated by very successful entertainers. Someone like Jimmy Fallon is this lovable, affable guy. He's so fun and easygoing. But I'm sure when the cameras turn off, he has to crack the whip like to keep a show like that running. Any of those people, they have there must be a side of them you don't see. Like when the stuff came out with Ellen, I'm like, of course.
Sure.
It's a daily show. She's like a lesbian from Louisiana. I'm sure she can be prickly at times.
You specifically. She's more prickly than a lesbian from Louisiana. the problem, so when you're doing a show, and I've done a few shows, is all you do is tell people what went wrong after the show and what needs to be fixed so it doesn't happen again. And it turns out people hate that, but that's really all you can do.
Right. I think Daily Show calls it like a postmortem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting actually thinking about that, which is I did a movie. We had to interview the Enzo Ferrari's son, one of his sons, and whatever. And Ferrari, you go into their place in Modena, has it's just a room, and it's where they have their conferences and their discussions and stuff. And in the room is all broken parts. It's all shit that failed. It's all like that cam sprocket broke hour 23 of 71 Le Mans. We would have won the race. The fucking sprocket broke. Put it there. Yeah. And it'll all be a reminder
nice
that
reminder.
We need to do a little better job of what we're doing over here. So yeah. It was like a room full of broken parts that cost them the race, and that's where they would have their meetings.
At the very least, at least it's not like a program director air check where you're listening to it, and then they always ask the question, how do you think that went? Oh, just tell me what the fuck went wrong, and we'll do it different tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. But while you're in, whether it's racing or performing, you have to be in the mindset, everything is great. Everything is set up. You can't think about all the things going against you. You have to think, I'm going to do my best in this moment. I'm doing what? So you're like, as an actor, you have to think everything you're doing is right. If you think what you're doing is wrong, it is wrong. Mm-hmm. But then the second the cameras turn off or the event ends, you have to think, now you have to scrutinize everything that wasn't correct. So you have to go from everything is perfect to everything is failed.
Who is, I'm trying to think of, The Rock's up there. Elon Musk is up there. Mark Cuban is an up there guy. Where
Tom
you go.
Cruise.
Well, I don't know that he has crack a beer mode. That's what I'm saying.
No, he doesn't.
I'm saying who, and let's figure out the ladies too. Like, who has the take care of fucking business and then crack a beer
mode? I have the one to beat. Feel free to throw your examples. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
She's jovial, the big smile. She's friendly. Everyone loves her. She's got the brand.
Yeah.
She's a producer. Everything Reese touches goes fucking turns to gold. She's a fucking she's a dragon lady.
Yeah. All right.
She's a dragon lady.
But that's not who I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one who kicks ass and then isn't a dragon.
What about Oprah?
But wait. Yeah.
Nope. She is that person, though, because she's a producer. She has tons of shows, tons of projects, tons of whatever. But she also has that image where it's like smiley, happy, you know, sweet home Alabama
but
Reese.
Does she but really kick
but
back?
But I'm not looking for the
image.
I'm looking for the real chillax.
I think Mark Wahlberg, on the men's side, I would add Mark Wahlberg. He seems like he'd actually be fun to hang out with when he's not working out at 2 a.m.
I love Reese Witherspoon because she fought for her man who got that DUI.
Yeah.
Those moments are so endearing to me.
Yeah,
like the Alec Baldwin freakouts only make me like him more.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love, you know.
Sandra Bullock's on that list.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
I don't know.
You don't think she's
I think
back?
Women.
She has like three kids.
I think the harder part with women is women kind of aren't allowed to be that. Like,
but I guess Tom Hanks until recently, right, maybe. Yeah. But the question with like a Beyonce or any of these people is, and I figured this out because I used to be a sort of a carpenter to the stars.
Oh boy.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I did Katie Sagal from Married
That's
with Children's
right.
House.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh, from Futurama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy.
Leela.
Although that was in the future when I was doing her Rama. But here's the real key. So they have to picture now. Have to picture Tom Hanks versus Ellen versus Oprah versus Beyonce. If they came pulling up into their home and your truck was in the driveway, blocking their shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How would Beyonce be then?
It's the litmus test.
See, I think Tom Hanks would be a fuck of a lot
more affable.
Affable than Beyonce. I could be wrong, but it's the truck blocking the space. Because I remember working at Katie Sagal's house up in the hills, and there's no place to park. You got to unload your fucking truck when you're working, you know, and I've like parked her assistant like came running out like, no, you know, like if Katie Katie was nice, but the assistant was freaked out.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out her husband was the douche.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I think it was Jack White.
Oh, different guy.
No. Jack White.
It was White. Maybe it was Jack White. Different Jack White. Drummer.
Oh.
From the Rick Springfield band.
Is he?
Really?
Yeah.
Was he less successful than her at that time?
I think you guys may share some componentry here. I think she was the one who was getting the mailbox money, and he was Rick Springfield's drummer, and this was 1997 or something, and the touring had slowed down a little bit. He was overcompensating a little.
Sure. Could be. Sure.
The worst dynamic ever is when the dude, meaning me, shows up to the house. But it's the woman who's paying, but the dude's there.
Yeah.
So he's got to step up and go, I could have done that myself.
Puff up his chest.
He ends up compensating.
Very much.
If we're talking about this and the driveway test, I think Brian's right on with Sandra Bullock. Because from what I understand, she's like kind of like a real estate mogul, and I'm sure she's a badass hard worker. But who would be cooler if you were parked in her space than Sandra Bullock?
I don't know, but I hope.
I would think so.
I would hope.
Lizzo seems like a chill person. She's very
Lizzo
successful.
Lizzo would be the other way, though. I think Lizzo would start apologizing, and then start crying, and then like go into a shame spiral.
She's like,
about
you a bad bitch for parking in my space.
Right, hold my bag, bitch, and then move your truck.
Yeah. There's none of those women freakouts. The Alec Baldwin breakdown when they yell at a flight attendant. When women do it, I don't think we find it as cool. It's just that screaming, let me talk to your manager energy. Mm-hmm. We don't give women the same credit for
that
kind of stuff.
There's the double standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should yell more.
A woman should punch someone. If a woman just like straight up punched someone, I'd be into it.
Well, they're punching each other now, I've noticed. Women throwing down.
That happened in my middle school. Girl fights were way more entertaining.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where were you?
They go for the hair. I went to a middle school in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I was in the magnet program. I cheated.
Spring break year round.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a lazy little town. I was in the magnet program. And they put the magnet program in the lowest scoring school to bolster their scores. So it was a poorer school.
Oh,
there was gang violence.
Oil
there was teen pregnancy
rate.
Yeah, it was tense. It was very tense.
They wanted to pad their score.
Yes, but they kept
the smart kids and mixing them in with the troublemakers, and then get the overall scores higher.
It was very tense. The magnet program was diverse. They did a good job of pulling from every racial group, but the public school kids there, the local kids, were more monolithic. And if you were white, you were very, very likely in the magnet program. So I was more of a. They knew I was one of those kids who got the better treatment from
they did what you did. They did with magnet what we do with basketball.
Sure.
Like my school had 25 black kids, but they're all in sports.
Right.
Like
you
knew who they were. The tall guy comes by with the Letterman jacket. Oh, that guy's bust in. Like he's a ringer. Like in Fast Times at Ridgemont High or something like that. But they did the kind of reverse
Forrest Whitaker
thing, right? Yeah. They did the whitey in this school magnet, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the girl fight, I remember one girl fight where it was just instantly they had each other's hair and they were on the ground.
These are black girls?
No, this was, South Texas, so mostly Hispanic.
Oh, mostly Hispanic.
Yeah.
Oh, so my concept was extensions were created initially to just be tearaway for women of color who fought.
Like Will Smith's pants.
Right.
Flag fighting.
Yeah.
Well, no, like a lizard's tail. You know, it evolved, you know what I mean, to get away
from
the predator. I'm not making this up. Yeah,
yeah,
we have to. You want to go out and throw down with some big old hoops that are stuck through your ear and your natural hair going down your fucking waist? You're going to get your ass kicked every Saturday.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah. So Lee Press on nails, clip-on earrings, and clip-in extensions.
Yes.
I'm sold.
For women of color to fight.
Did not realize that.
You don't know?
I didn't know.
You didn't know?
Like when a porcupine shoots its spines or something?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Go look to nature. You'll find all your answers.
I didn't realize that.
Tear away hair. Well, it's true. If someone gets you by the fucking bun and that thing's welded to your head, you're going to be in for a fucking thrashing.
That is why, you know, in women's self-defense classes, they say, which good luck, that women shouldn't wear ponytails when they're walking alone on the street because they're easy to yank.
Oh, the most satisfying thing I've ever seen in my life was a very early UFC fight back when they're like, we don't really have rules. We just have this cage and our rules are no rules. And some dude came in there looking like was that G.E. Smith from the
Saturday Night Live
band? You know, fucking long hair, throwing it around. And this guy had a big hair and is like throwing it around. And he had like a ponytail or something. The guy just grabbed it like a fucking handle and he just kept ramming just his head into his knee. He just like, and they didn't have rules. So they're like, oh, we never thought of no hair. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Just grabbed it and just fucking used it like a handle.
My
it's a great
mom
fighting
almost,
strategy.
My yeah. mom almost got murdered by a gorilla because of that.
Really?
Yes.
You tell.
My
what a cliche.
It's true. If it's said it a million times. My grandfather was a very renowned pathologist, scientist. Mm. And it skipped many generations. Mm. But he was a genius. And in those days, in the 50s, 60s, whatever, they had like the sad like monkeys in the cage, you know, in the science room, whatever, in the lab.
Oh, right.
And my mom was in there, and my grandfather apparently walked out to go get something. When he walked back in the room, my mom had a ponytail. She was maybe 7 years old, and he saw the gorilla reaching for her and was just going to slam her back against the cage and got her in time.
That's how to fight.
Oh, that's like, right. Like, you know, hippie wood shop in the 70s, man. You get that long hair caught in a drill press and fucking pull your scalp
that's
off.
That's
right. Like, it's, yeah. Yeah. So you got to have tearaway hair. That's what
that's
I'm
the point.
I learned that I learned something surprising recently. My dad, who passed away a couple years ago, he was a scientist. He was like a real studious, like thoughtful, quiet guy. I learned he was a brawler in high school. He was a fighter. He was a poor Cajun kid. Real insecure because his family was one of the poorest at the school. He was always like had a chip on his shoulder for being uneducated. He had like a gold tooth in the front of his mouth. And, you know, people stepped to him wrong. Apparently, he would stand up for himself.
Who informed you of that?
My uncle, his brother.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. That's a good story.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the sides of – because he had me at 47. So I only met him as an old man. I never knew him without gray hair.
Interesting.
So they had this whole history. He kind of transformed like, – when he got out of the bayou and got an education – he kind of was ashamed of where he came from and tried to become this other thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Overcompensation's the best.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And then later in life, I think he started to take more pride in his heritage and that he came from this place that's, you know, interesting.
And I'm glad the story went the direction it did because my dad was a button-down, studious guy, and then he died and we found his porn stash. Like I thought this is where
some
we're
really
heading.
Really dark shit.
Yeah, you're I did find European. My dad's porn stash.
You did.
He printed the porn.
Oh, wow.
Photocopy prints. What an old school. I mean, yeah, just
that's a guy. That's an older guy.
That's a studious man.
Caught. Yeah,
just
time.
Laser jet
analog.
Printer.
Off of images off a computer?
This was like 2000s when it took a while to download. Like an image, you saw it slowly load from the top. Just old school. He was like, this is a good one. Got to save this one.
Wow.
Oh, my ADD is never on like more showcase than when I'm looking through porn. Just tab, open, tab, save this for later. Go this. When he was just like, let's find three good images.
That's a keeper.
What is so dad's porn stash? And you can find Chris. Rest assured, the man show bit that I was deadly serious about. I could have corrected this problem if your dad, you know, before the tragedy.
Yeah, too late now.
How did you come across the porn stash? What is protocol for porn stash? What I'm saying is what if you don't discover it? What if a sibling discovers it or mom or stepmom? Should there be, I wanted you to have this. Should there be incinerator? Should there be a discussion about it? Should we give it a Viking funeral and lift a beer? Like I lived in an apartment once where some unit cleared out next to mine. And the guy was a perv, like in the old sense, and there was dildos and strap-ons and everything. And the landlord just brought the whole box over to my place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of shame around it in our family. My family was like really chill with that stuff. They understood. Mm-hmm. Like I remember my parents got a box in the mail when I was in middle school. My mom was like, I wonder what this is. Must be for Jerry. And it said Adam and Eve on the box. I didn't know at the time. I don't know if they're a sponsor or a competitor. but it was, I figured out later, it was a porn VHS from Playboy. I think my parents watched it together. I don't think it wasn't hidden. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's why you're
healthy. Yeah, there was a dildo I found once, and I'm sure my dad was cool with it. Yeah, I think that's a healthy way to look at it. So
was the dildo loose or in something?
It was in a drawer.
In a drawer.
Yeah, not rolling around in a drawer.
So you found the dildo. You found the porn
I shut the drawer and then repressed it. Yeah. Dildo's more disturbing.
Yeah, no. Yeah, for sure.
Dad's porn. Yeah. It was very tasteful, by the way. It was just nudes, softcore nudes of some big-titted playmate.
Good. Let's see if we can rank dildo versus vibrator.
This was a veiny.
Oh boy!
Yeah, see,
a vibrator would have. Yeah, that doesn't bother me much. If it looks like a penis,
yeah, I would rather find 3.5 vibrators than one dildo.
Yeah, because
what's your ratio?
A dildo
split down the middle, like lengthwise, or split? Like,
you know, they say an average American has 2.2 kids or whatever, but they're not really talking about 0.3 kids. It's just that's an average.
I'm going lower, 1-to-1. They're equally disturbing.
Only has one purpose and one purpose only.
No, all right. First off, this is your mom's drawer. Okay,
I'm on board.
Vibrator. First things first. I used to go to the Army surplus store that was, you know, around the corner from my house on Lancashire, mm-hmm. or NoHo, whatever. Sure. Just when I was a kid, and just walk in, look at knives and inflatable rafts and shit. And I always noticed at the counter that the old school white vibrator,
the clinical vibrator,
this weird old white one that was kind of ubiquitous with the handle. You know, you turn at the bottom. And it was a drawing of a chick on the box. She was putting it on her
personal
neck.
Massage on her neck.
There's some world where you could sleep at night thinking maybe mom's got a bad neck. Even those things
throbbing penis shaped neck massager.
I swear to God, Chris, you can find first gen whatever box.
Yeah. Just like a hospital beige.
Yeah, I think this was white, but she was like placing it on her neck. Sure. But we all know the dildo.
Wait, why do you think one's better or worse than the other?
Because a dildo goes in and a vibrator might not.
That's what I said. A dildo has one purpose.
Yeah. The big sexual pleasure.
Yeah, yes. No, you're which is too rational. Yeah,
way
too rational.
Less of a factor for women than I was raised to believe. The external is so much more important.
Yeah, yes,
the penetration.
No, I guess what it comes down to, Brian.
Jesus Christ.
You have to picture walking in on your mom.
No,
doing,
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Doing one of two activities. Either gently massaging her vulva.
Okay.
Good use
clitoris.
Of that word.
I watch your stand-up special.
Thank you. I appreciate
on top. Or savagely ravaging her conscious with a black, veiny, oversized dildo. Over and over again to the point where the lactic acid is built up in her forearm so much that the veins are bulging.
Just cramping.
Which is it?
Carpal tunnel.
You got one or the other.
Before I answer your question, I'd like to take a personal moment. My brother recently started listening to this show.
Oh, no.
And I'd like to just address Adam Bishop and say, I never found another one of mom's thing, other one of these things. Mm-hmm. So this is not an insightful observation. You're right. I go with the vibrator.
And fuck you for making him paint that picture. You just couldn't get on board with this premise. He had to say what he said.
Not vivid enough. Keep describing.
Well, in my innocent, flowery mind, I'm picturing the man helping with the dildo.
Oh, no.
Why?
Well, here's
no. You have, it's not as good of a. It's easier to do it yourself. This motion versus this motion.
Worst day of my life.
I'm saying. Now, first thing, we need a staff ranking. So I'm at 3.5 vibrators for my one dildo.
Ten for me.
Ten. Wow. Bold.
I'd rather find like an arsenal, like Matrix
Bandolero.
Walking into the like opening his trench coat. And there's every size
Saints,
and color for one dildo.
You look like John Popper's harmonica vest.
Right.
All right. So can we agree that a dildo is to a vibrator what a yam is to a sweet potato? It's just like a little more of what that thing is.
Yes.
A sweet potato is a sweetish kind of in between a yam and a regular, but a yam is orange and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Topped with marshmallows.
You found an ad for Sears for the face massager?
Oh my God. That is a...
That is so
That's
funny.
It. And you got two for $5.50.
They still do that, by the way. They still,
that
even on Amazon,
deal.
It's personal massager. The puritanical shame we still have
it is
for women's pleasure.
It is a, from 1973.
Two for $5.50? That's a great deal.
What's with the suction cup at the bottom?
That's when you actually have a bad joint.
I don't know about that.
No, now vibrators have the clit sucker.
That's exactly.
And that, I hear that's a game changer.
That's on Instagram all the time.
This is a white vibrator.
Mount that on the wall and just ride it.
It looks like the Washington Monument.
You press it against like a shower mirror.
Obviously.
Just as I have described. just pictured it in my head. It's just a sort of generic white vibrator. You turn the bottom, get the battery fire, and she's putting it on her cheek.
And smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like someone finished a corn cob.
Then she goes out, and her friends are like, Betty, your cheek smells like tuna. What's up? Oh, boy. I'm still picturing this box, if you can find it. All right, we didn't find it. This is good enough. It's a personal massage.
God damn.
Yeah. Two.
I found porn once. I was in high school, and I was jogging through my neighborhood. At the bottom of, like, a hill, someone had thrown, like, 40 porn DVDs out the window, and they were just lying on the ground.
What a mistake.
Yeah. And this was when the internet wasn't as good for porn, so I walked past it, like, filthy porn, like pictures of anal on the DVD. Yeah. Like just on hardcore cover, cheap porn. Yeah.
There was a sweet spot from like 99 to like 04 where DVD porn was it. Because I couldn't stream the shit.
Right. And I picked it home and I brought it home, watched it, and it was just very low quality. Like there was a scene that ended poorly, clearly, and they just did like a star wipe.
A cutaway.
into the next scene, just real cheap stuff. And I just want to know, what happened? Did the guy just realize he had an addiction and just said, I got to change my life and threw it out the window? Or did his wife find it and like, you're disgusting, I'm leaving you, and throw it out the window? But I just always think about how it ended up there.
I think we need to define our porn stash with and I don't know how we define it, but at some point, your stepmom or your dad or whomever finds the porn stash, and then they think that's your porn versus you retrieving discarded porn.
Sure.
Which is the difference between finding $20 on the ground or stealing someone's wallet. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's literal sloppy seconds.
Yeah, I had porn. I had Colt Roundup.
What's that?
What is that?
Colt Roundup was a magazine.
It's a Western themed.
Colt Roundup was a gay... It was not even a magazine. It was kind of a brochure or something.
Leaflet?
Like, you know, like if you ever go to Catalina and someone goes, activities to do, and you grab one of those things, there's like 13. You could go scuba diving or drive on the boat with the glass bottom. It was kind of like that for porn. I don't know where the fuck I got it. I thought it was funny.
Did you watch it straight through? Did you make it to the whole thing?
I looked at it, and... I'm not gay, so I didn't derive any pleasure out of it. But it was also, it was porn, and I took an oath to never throw away porn.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like I was sort of like a soldier who was taking care of the enemy when they were injured because of the Geneva Convention I'd signed. Yeah. You know, like and
POW.
And then also, I found great pleasure in the fact that there. All the dudes just had their dong hanging out. Nobody had a boner, but everyone was chubbed up.
Oh,
so
sure.
They all were giving the illusion of like, hey, this is just how you caught me.
Like the Bellagio fountains, you know, kind of at an arch.
Yeah, you caught me stepping out of the shower, but with a little glicerin on your cock and kind of chubbed up a little bit. They all had the same kind of arc. It was like, oh, I'm just hanging this way. And then there was one guy named... Toby.
You'll never forget.
Who looked like Dave Coulier, and he was in a Hawaiian shirt with puka shells. It was just his headshot. And I was like, you think you're so fucking hot, I don't have to see your dong, Toby?
The arrogance.
You're not even that good looking.
Where do you get off?
Yeah, that's literally.
Where
that's
am I supposed to get off?
As I'm saying, like, who is this Toby guy? Just I'm supposed to beat off to just your face, and you look like Dave Coulier in a Hawaiian shirt with puka shells? And I remember... thinking about that a lot.
Yeah.
And then I...
Indignant.
Then I hit it, and at some point my dad found it. So now he's got to assume...
He's concerned.
Did he buy you puka shells to support you?
He doesn't care, but I realized he doesn't know that somebody gave me this and it was a goof.
And the more you protest...
It's like your parents found the very disturbing anal porn.
Right. If they found that,
they would have
been...
If they found it, they would have been like, fuck, we got to lose her
intervene.
Mm-hmm. Also, he doesn't take any good care of these. Look, they're all scratched up. Yeah. Really no respect for the art form.
Yeah, they're literally soiled with topsoil.
Can I ask a female's perspective?
Yeah.
So in terms of visual arousal, an erect penis, would that have appeal to you? Or would the chubbed up kind of
Is
there
like?
Anything arousing about a chubbed up but not fully erect penis? Or do you just want to see?
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
Adjusting for inflation, your mind that would be pretty big.
Yeah, I think that's actually. I think you're right because we're used to. I mean, who's not used to seeing an erect dong at this point? But a half is a little more elusive, mysterious.
Less threatening.
It has potential.
Yeah.
I think I've nailed this down. Chris, is there such a magazine called Cult Roundup anywhere?
I can't find anything, and please
Google it.
Start looking.
Yeah, if
I we've been looking.
Can I make this equivalency, boys, with the half-chubbed hog?
Yeah.
The promise of the half-chubbed hog is
I love that children's book.
You go, did Michelle Obama write that one? The promise of the half-chubbed hog? The point is
the series got dark.
The whole point is it's the two equivalencies, but it's essentially like the dude who's chilling by the pool in Vegas and the chicks are on the lounge chair and he pops off 25 push-ups in the fucking bathroom and then walks out like he's just walking out of the bathroom and he goes, that's just a fucking vein going over there. Like it's kind of that illusion, you know? And so you go, oh, what is the potential? Well, not that much potential because he's 75% of the way to his potential, but you think he's at zero because he's just walking around.
Resting, that way. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is equivalent to when the chick does up the hair, does up the makeup, and then just puts like a denim shirt on and rolls up the sleeve and like jeans and flip flops. You go, God, she's looking hot. Mm-hmm. She's just fucking walking back from the car from
Where
are we going from here?
Yeah.
What if she really put it together? But you realize, no, she is.
She's 75% there already.
She's put together. Yes. She just doesn't want you to know.
You
she's
guys
been working
don't know.
It.
It's
like,
every,
that's why I like ponytails. It's the same reason I like ponytails. Like
grab onto that fucking thing and get a blowjob.
Because I'm a gorilla.
In Women's Health and Cosmo and Instagram, whatever. Do you know how many tutorials there are on how to put together a, quote, messy bun?
Oh,
we're supposed
right.
to make it look like it was effortless. It was not effortless.
Or the no makeup makeup?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got our staff poll on the dildo.
Oh, good.
versus vibrator.
So Emmy is 3. So just a little lower than you, Adam.
Three
vibrators.
Three vibrators. So, yeah, this is always going to be vibrators.
This is Mama's sock drawer.
Yes.
Okay.
Ben is 8.
Wow.
Now, did he have that number
like
set
trauma.
In stone years ago, or is this something he just spat out?
He hit it pretty quick. Yeah, he was thinking about it.
Did he check a laminate in his wallet? Or?
Mr. Loveline, does that sound like a little PTSD to you? Does that sound like a little PTSD?
Eight. He's protesting.
I just picture them all in one drawer and turned on. Sounds like a symphony of crickets.
Well, and you know, these days they don't check. For years they haven't checked at the airport for things that are ticking in your suitcase. They check for things that are vibrating because that's how bombs work. And you know how many fucking vibrators they pulled out.
That's a scene in Fight Club.
Yep.
Yeah, the guy was like, always a dildo, never your dildo. Yeah.
Let's try to. We should try to guess Dawson's. I'm going to guess. No difference.
1-1.
That's my Dawson guess.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Dawson is 10.
I'm with it.
I thought it through as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and I said 10 as well.
Turns out me and Chris are kindred spirits. We both love our mothers very much.
Put it out on Twitter.
That's the 10th day of Christmas. 10 vibrators
that's
vibrating.
Right. We must get an audience poll of this.
Yeah.
All right. We got the news.
Hi, Gary.
Let's not forget that character Gary? Had a vibrator
in the
movie.
Lunch bag. In the brown bag.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
What movie?
In Parenthood.
Parenthood.
Oh. No. The porn was in the brown bag.
Oh.
The vibrator was at the dinner table.
That's right. Electric ear cleaner.
They were looking for a flashlight or something because the power went out.
It's really big. It sure is.
Love that movie. All right. Let me tell you about electric e-bikes. Finally, an e-bike for everyone. Electric e-bikes starts at just $7.99. Fastest growing e-bike company in the U.S. These things work. Like I said, I brought mine to the infield at the Laguna Seca and rode it around. Sonny was on it all weekend. Charges last so long. And it this one folds, so you can carry it around. You don't need a big truck or an SUV. Just fold it in half and throw it in the trunk of your car. You get where you need to go, any terrain, including snow and sand. You can cover up to 45 miles at up to 28 miles per hour. And it'll last 4 to 6 hours on a charge. The battery's hidden away, and there's an LCD display showing your speed, your range, and the power's adjustable. It is all there. Electric e-bikes. Am I right, Dawson?
Join the affordable e-bike revolution. Go to electricebikes.com and use code Corolla to get a free foldable mountable bike lock with any bike purchase. That's a free bike lock when you use code Corolla at electricebikes.com.
All right. Well, we got that rest assured bit.
Yeah.
But your dad could have benefited from this. But I think anybody with a porn stash should sign up for this service, although now we're going to have to get into scrubbing the computer and the phone. But this is from 22 years ago.
Sometimes the unthinkable can happen. And when it does, your family will remember you by what you've left behind.
Our little Adam was a drug addict.
And a pervert.
When you're gone, it's too late to hide any evidence of your hedonistic lifestyle. Hey, no one wants to be remembered this way. And when your time is up, you want to rest in peace, not in shame. That's why I'm here to tell you about the Rest Assured Disposal Service. Here's how it works. Seconds after your unexpected death, a monitoring device alerts our dispatch unit.
In and out in five, let's go!
Our expert team of disposal technicians immediately converge on the premises to confiscate all your intimate possessions.
New guy that way, let's go! Go, go, go! Contraceptive on the table. Let's move, gentlemen! Get that goat off the bed!
And no stones left unturned.
Bowling.
After the area is secured, our emergency interior designers begin the redecoration process.
It was Bean's goat from Kevin and Bean.
Oh, no.
Once in the apartment, they create the illusion of a respectable lifestyle that will make your family proud. So by the time your loved ones arrive, your reputation will go from this to this.
Adam's Bible.
It's your legacy. Protect it with the Rest Assured Disposal Service. Because when you die, your family doesn't need to know you're going to hell.
Now you can rest assured.
It's not only is it not a bad idea, it must already exist in some form for internet services.
There's got to be. I mean, everyone's got their phone and their fucking computer full of shit. God knows what's in the closet. I mean, something that people could sign up for.
Yeah.
I like that the guys who fixed it were gay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you inspired Queer Eye. That was pre-Queer Eye. That was like a post-mortem Queer
Eye. Those guys weren't gay.
I remember calling Bean of Kevin and Bean, who famously had land and like Valencia or something and goats. And remember he had his whole menagerie?
I remember you telling us. Yes,
he had pigs and goats and sheep. And I was like, hey, Bean, need to borrow a goat. I was like, what for?
No questions asked.
Don't worry about it.
He's going to be a star.
Yeah, we brought his goats over.
That's awesome.
All right. Shall we take a break and come back and do a little news?
Indeed.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Dawson, your brother, did a rest assured run for you when you were in the hospital?
Yes, he did. When I was in San Diego and I fell off a skateboard and cracked my head and was in intensive care for 3 weeks, My brother and my family found out. My brother immediately dropped everything, took a few days off of work, drove 8 hours to San Diego.
Wow.
Went to my condo. First, he hid the skateboard that because my parents would have broken that in half. Mm-hmm. Then he took all of my bongs, all of my pipes, all of my weed, got everything out of the way, and then completely cleaned the house from the ground up. And then he left before my parents got there.
Oh,
and he just snapped into action.
He just snapped into action. That's the unwritten brother code.
That's great.
No discussions beforehand.
Zero. I didn't even talk to him. The radio station called that I worked for called my parents and said, your son's in the hospital.
And your brother then, snapped into action.
Yeah, like the wolf called in my brother.
Yeah.
And he just told his boss, sister, I got to go.
My sister would have come over, dropped off a kilo of cocaine, and then left. She would have never done that for me.
He got rid of all my porn, everything.
Wow.
Yeah. And then cleaned the house.
Wow.
My brother's a cleaner.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. That is a good man.
It's good family.
We have Colt Men.
Oh, good.
Jesus.
Fine. So is this from the 80s?
Those are hunks.
70s, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
from the 70s.
Yeah, these are some hunks.
Yeah. Some of these are, but it went all the way to like 2005, 2000. In fact, this is Colt Studio Group. It's a gay porn company since 67.
Oh.
They started in New York, eventually moved to San Francisco.
What?
In 2007, Mayor Gavin Newsom signed a proclamation declaring February 23rd, 2007 as Colt Studio Day in celebration of this anniversary. And the proclamation attracted criticism from Bill O'Reilly.
I'm back on Newsom's team.
The fellow in the top right's a rancher.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if those guys were gay.
Yeah.
They could be straight.
That's true. There's a lot of gay for pay.
Well, as a kid, I always thought that women had the same visual arousal that men did. And I was like, well, we have Playboy, they have Playgirl. I didn't realize Playgirl is mostly for gay men.
Right.
Yeah.
So in 2007, it was Colt Appreciation Day?
Yeah, February 23rd, 2007. Colt Studio Day.
I'm putting that on my calendar.
Are they still around?
We got to move the Corolla Barbecue Day.
It does say they're still around, yes.
Good for
them. Wow. Yeah, legacy company.
So Colt Roundup was probably like a look back of the year.
I guess. I don't know if you can copyright Colt, but there's certain words you got to have that mean gay back then.
There's Honcho magazine.
Yeah, Honcho.
That like
gay. You need to have a sort of Western theme meets a kind of gay theme, but you can't just go gays on parade. You couldn't back then. You had to come up with some sort of image.
You know why?
The woman who was putting the personal massager on her cheek.
We all know.
You couldn't draw a straight line. You had to kind of zigzag a little bit.
I like the guy in the middle.
Yeah,
look
he looks
him.
Good.
I mean, how do you choose?
Are there any, can you find Toby, the guy with the puka shells?
The one that got away, as Adam refers to him?
I was like,
that's a deep bowl.
Not gay at all, just staring right at the one guy with the headshot going, you think you're so hot, don't you? So fucking good looking that I don't get to see your cock.
Those are like real men.
Yeah. All right.
Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about Newsom. I'm glad you brought him up. On Thursday, he joined Truth Social, President Donald Trump's social media platform. But he did it specifically to call out Republican lies, quote unquote. I'm going to let him explain why he joined. Here's the clip that's been posted of why he's on Truth Social.
Hey, everybody. It's Governor Gavin Newsom. And I know we're all on this platform in search for the truth. But the truth is, I've not been able to find a simple explanation for the fact that we have a red state murder problem. 8 of the top 10 states with the highest murder rates happen to be red states. So the question is simple. What are the laws and policies in those states that are leading to such carnage?
Now,
the top murder cities are all blue.
Yeah, I have
Chicago's
the
not a, a red city. The cities
St. Louis is not...
Baltimore,
a red
they're
city.
All the top cities that they do the most killing on, Newsom, are all deep blue, bin blue, and have the strictest gun laws as well. So I would counter with that.
Big cities that aren't blue, though? I feel like past a certain population, like cities always go blue.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. What is the biggest... somewhere in Florida or Texas?
Kansas maybe? City, maybe? Okay. Kansas City splits decently for such a big city.
Yes, I'm from Kansas City, and I think we have a super progressive mayor.
Yeah, I was going to guess like Houston or something.
Yeah.
Houston's blue. Houston had the first gay mayor of any major city.
Wow.
Yeah. Especially in red states, the cities go even bluer. Like, that's like white Austin.
Austin. Yeah.
Houston. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Atlanta. Blow, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Newsom's response to why. So basically, people are saying.
What
you know,
are the top. Oh, I have so he would say the top killing states would be like Texas.
So, like, here it's Louisiana, Alabama, yeah. Missouri, Arkansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Maryland, Illinois, New Mexico. And then people asked him, and this is really hard to understand. So Newsom's response to, you know, soft on crime cities in California, I'm just going to read you the direct quote about the issues that San Francisco's crime problem is having, and I'm just going to let you figure out what he's saying. He says, they want the streets cleaned up. They want a sense of order from the disorder they're feeling on the streets. Now crime's a component of that, but there's a lot of conflation of those issues, including mental health, open use of drugs, drug dealing, and the dirtiness in parts of the city. And tag, the DA was it, meaning there was some attachment of accountability and responsibility.
Well, I don't know what he's saying.
Like word salad to
he doesn't
else?
Know what he's talking about either. But here's what I would... like respectfully ask Gavin Newsom to do. Instead of pointing out that there's more murder in Louisiana, how about you fucking work on California? Just we'll get the electrical grid going, see if we can get some water, and we'll just see if we can lower little taxes, regulations, whatever. Just go on to set all a considerable brain of yours on California.
Yeah, it's a weird thing for a governor to kind of point out other states.
Yeah.
That's his vibe. Though.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We're living in that world now where everyone's just pointing every direction. But focus on California. That's what I want to say.
Those are also like the poorest states, the ones listed.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's always interesting, too. The states that are the bottom of the list for education and obesity and health problems are also the most.
Imprisonment.
Yeah, and also like the most conservative. Like, why don't you deal with that first and then come back to us about, you know, other things?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Listen, I used to exclusively hang out with poor people. They're not noble. They make fucking horrible decisions. Most of the reason they're poor is they make shitty decisions. Every motherfucking poor person I grew up with, like my best friend was run over intentionally by another poor person. And he ended up getting like $13,000 from the other guy's insurance, auto insurance company. Mm. And he had $13,000, and I said to him, $13,000, you're never going to see $13,000 again. We were like 23 or something. I was like, this is the fucking most money I've ever seen in my life. And I literally said to him, you got to buy books and tools. Books and tools. So we were doing carpentry. You know, it's like, buy something, have something, whatever. He said, fuck that, I'm going to Hawaii. And he just went to Hawaii and did drugs for 4 months and then came back with no money.
Oh.
That's what poor people do. And then we all go, oh, these guys need a helping hand or they need to step up or the societies. No, they're not. They're fucking dumb. They're impulsive and they make fucking bad decisions all the time. They fuck without contraception. They crank out a bunch of kids. They fucking cut school all the time and go, fuck that. And they make horrible decisions all the fucking time. And that's why they're poor. Take a fucking poor person and go, hey, don't shit out any kids when you're 17. Fucking stay in school and study and get back to me in a few years and I'll bet you're doing fine. It's an easy path. They don't fucking do it. And they're like, you know, they have extra money. They don't fucking put it in their 401k. They buy fucking beer. That's what they do. I live with these people. I know these people. They're fucking impulsive. They'll take their fucking extra cash and buy a fucking aftermarket pipe for their jet ski versus put money toward like their kid's orthodonture. And they're fucking lazy a lot of the time. They're fucking angry. They're addicted to a lot of shit. Fuck poor people. I know tons of rich people now. They're 1,000 times better than my poor friends.
No.
They're not, they're more generous. They're nicer. They're smarter. They're everything.
I grew up with rich people, so I saw kids with generational wealth who were pretty big fuck-offs, and they could trip and fall and land on their feet every time.
Oh, don't get me wrong. My kids are horrible.
The kids. All these, because I ended up going to a private school, and I always resented the rich kids because they didn't work as hard. They had way more money. They didn't care about their academics. They got DUIs. They got addicted to drugs and got sent to rehab. And I look at those kids now, and they all got their act together. They all started working at their dad's company, and they're doing great. Like, oh, they – see, I worked too hard earlier in life, and then I got lazy. You got to kind of fuck off.
That's my son. Sorry.
Yeah, because there was a job waiting for them at the end
of
the day.
So yeah. They took advantage of the fun years, and then now they got their shit together and have a family.
Well, that's a real rich man, poor man then.
Yeah, there's a balance for sure. Well, my God.
I have kind of an answer for you. There's a lot of ways to measure the largest conservative city or red city. There's a lot of ways to measure that, of course, who they voted for in the last election. This is Wikipedia going by who has Republican mayors. None over a million people. However, the largest appears to be Jacksonville, Florida, just under a million, and Fort Worth, Texas, just under a million.
Wow.
So Jacksonville. No. Man, a lot of black people didn't vote if they had a Republican mayor.
No large cities with a Republican mayor.
I mean, those are large, but they're not, metropolises.
We may get a Republican mayor in California or sort of Los Angeles who goes by the name of Caruso, who's says he's a Democrat so he can get dumb people to vote for him, but he's really a Republican, so maybe that'll be good.
I kind of like those guys. I like Clinton and Romney. Like Clinton was a red state Democrat who won the governorship, and I think Massachusetts Romney was a Republican who won a blue state. Those people are more interesting to me.
I agree. It means you have to consider your constituency and all of them.
What about Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, he wasn't a true Republican.
Oh, no. He wasn't, but he's Schwarzenegger, so the bets are bets are kind of off with him.
Can we please talk about Mike Tyson? Because he has broken his silence, my favorite phrase. He's finally telling people why he beat up that super annoying guy on that flight he needed a reason. So Tyson went on Kimmel's show to explain his side of the story. TMZ reports that Tyson, who was removed from the plane along with this bloody passenger, he wasn't charged with a crime. And Melvin Townsend III was the guy he beat the shit out of. The 36-year-old man who was on the receiving end of the beating hired an attorney, unclear if they struck a financial deal between he and Tyson. Anyway, here's a clip of Tyson explaining the beatdown to Kimmel.
I mouthed off to Mike Tyson.
Hey, listen, I'm usually good at these things.
I've seen you be very, very patient with people.
I just guess it was his number.
Yeah. He just had he was in the wrong seat.
No, I was wrong. That should have never happened. That's me back in my primitive child stages. I shouldn't have done it, but I was just irritated, tired, and high, and pissed off.
Yeah. happened. I'm still glad he did it.
I don't want to hurt nobody.
That man is cancel proof.
Yeah.
Everyone who canceled culture should come after. That man has every box checked, and he's just such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I also kind of wonder, you said this guy's a third.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin Townsend.
That's right. He's the rich asshole.
Yeah, that's everyone I went to high school
and
with.
And he has a rap sheet.
But do you think his dad was on a flight fucking with terrible Terry Norris in 1982, and then his grandfather was fucking with Ernie Shavers in 1969? Do you think there's a rich history of, Tyson wasn't born yet, but we're fucking with prize fighters?
It's a very good question.
If so, he can be excused. We can understand it.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a dust up with the law. He's had some drug issues. He stole a trailer that he hitched to his pickup.
It's a rich name for a trashy person.
That's right.
Well put.
Yes, I went to North Hollywood High with a very white trash dude. He was living in literally one of those homes, where people abandon their kids or whatever.
Oh,
it's a super white trash dude. Yeah, I liked him. His name is Thurston.
No, it wasn't.
It was. And this is 1982. Your name is Thurston Howell. Thurston Howell. The third is all ahead. He lived at the fucking halfway house, which is weird. But we made friends.
Yeah,
you did. On the football team.
Good.
Is terrible Terry Norris a bad nickname or a good nickname for a boxer?
Terrible for a boxer is good.
Terrible Terry Norris is good.
It's great.
Okay.
You do terrible things.
Well, what about for a prostitute?
Yeah, again, now you got a different
that
arena.
That means you're not going to get your money's worth.
Prostitutes and dictators, probably not so good.
Yeah, I would say czars, if you were a Russian czar.
True, true.
Although dictator, good name for a prostitute.
That
is good.
Dictator.
Yeah.
Good name for a porn star. Bonnie Rotten.
Dictators, a short, kind of round porn star, the big hog.
Bud-like.
Yeah.
From
what
Iowa.
What was terrible Terry Norris's record? That guy was fucking badass. Anyone ever heard of him?
He's the mayor of Jacksonville now.
Sorry.
He's 47-9.
Well, it's not bad.
Wow.
He fought in the 80s, whatever, probably fought all those Sugar Ray Leonards. And
yeah, turned pro in 86.
Well, I've never lost a boxing match, so.
Oh, you haven't?
I've never,
never had a boxing match.
I've never been in a fight.
Okay, so that's a good question. Terrible's good or bad name for a casino?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Nobody wants to go to Terrible's, yeah. But it's very popular.
On gas stations, I think, are Terrible's.
Well, Terrible's is right outside Vegas, right?
They have
just across the border?
A string. Yeah. I think Terrible's has a string of gas stations.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
really?
Well, Terrible Towels.
I think.
Pirates.
And Terrible's. I think they have a bunch of gas stations and do off-road racing. That's my recollection.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There's a place near where I'm staying in the valley called OK Chinese Food.
It sure is.
It is.
They are not lying.
Truth in advertising?
Yes. I love it. That's more endearing to me.
Terrible's.
Oh, Terrible's gas station. Okay. Or it's Terrible's Chevron or whatever.
Sure. There's also a Chinese food place in the valley called Tasty Goody.
Mm-hmm. And then is the Golden Chopstick still there?
It sure shit is. I mean, I don't know.
I haven't told my Golden Chopstick story in 10
you can't,
years.
You can't dine in right now because of COVID. I mean, I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
really?
There.
Golden Chopsticks is next at Gina's place.
Mm-hmm.
I used to live up the street in an apartment in North Hollywood. I was kind of, it was a bad time for me.
This is Gina's Wednesday night place.
The apartment,
it's really good.
My one bedroom apartment was off an alley. Mm-hmm. I had three dudes in there and I had, I had taken a year off doing construction to build my grandmother a kitchen in her house in North Hollywood up the other direction up the street. And I really didn't know what I was doing because I'd only been working construction for like 2 years. And my grandmother just said, I'll pay you 10 bucks an hour. And it was a shit show. And part of the shit show was when I didn't know how to pour a slab, but there was this crazy toothless guy named Mike who was a cement contractor who fought with his brother who lived down the alley who did typewriter repair.
Oh boy.
He was a fucking shit show and he'd crash on our sofa sometimes. I didn't even know him. He'd be like, hey man, fucking just got into it with my brother again. Can I just crash? And he'd be covered with concrete and shit. And Mike said, I said, can you help me with the slab for my grandmother's kitchen? I don't know anything about doing a slab. I could form it out, but I couldn't finish it or whatever. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm a slab expert. And we did the slab, and he came up short with the concrete, and so it was low in certain spots, and we had to keep going to Builders Emporium and getting bags and mixing them and dumping them in. And the whole thing came out all wavy and shitty, and it was about 8 o'clock at night, and we'd been at it for like 13 hours, and we're both covered in fucking concrete, and Mike had an El Camino. It wasn't El Camino, it was a Ranchero. It was like the Ford version of a El Camino. And the driver's side door was like caved in, so he'd have to climb out of the passenger side.
Yeah.
Remember, there was a lot of that. It was like duct tape shut, whatever. And we were so exhausted, and it was at the end of a super long day that didn't go well. And we said, we're going to the Golden Chopstick because he'd love pork fried rice.
Oh, sure. You know? Who doesn't?
And we drove out there and we parked in front. He's toothless, he's covered with concrete. Up, he's wearing jeans and boots, but the concrete's up mid-thigh. I'm covered with shit and concrete, too. He's crawling out of the window of his ranchero. And we spot
Rich Man Portman.
A fucking hot chick, like, walking down the sidewalk. And Mike's like, hey, shit, let's go talk to her. And I, like, look at him, and I look at me, and I look at his truck, and I go, I don't think this is going to work, Mike. And he looks at me, and he goes, what's the matter? Don't you want any pussy? I was like, I wish that's how it worked.
Oh my God.
But he generally was confused that I did not want any pussy. Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, that guy was
A for effort.
Oh,
it was fucking at some point my grandmother got out her wine at the end of the night and poured it in a glass for him and he shot it down like it was out of a
sitcom.
He literally just shot it down. At some point his brother came over for some reason and we'd call my grandparents old man and old woman because like I couldn't remember. Hey, old man, got a little more wine, old woman, a little more wine over there.
At
some point his brother drank had a little too much and had to relieve himself and just walked over to the other side of the patio and started pissing in the side of the ivy wall. And Mike started yelling at his brother because my grandma and my grandfather were there. He's like, hey, dude, don't fucking piss. We got the old man and the old woman over here. And he put his head over his shoulder and he looked back at us all sitting there like 17 feet away. And he goes, I turned my back. Like, this whole thing was like, I'm not pissing on the old people. I'm just pissing in their yard. Yeah.
Well, a lot of fucked up people in your orbit.
My God. Don't ever live off an alley.
Done.
That's the mode that the troublemakers can't travel the street.
Right. The boulevards.
Lit up. There's too many cops and people and stuff. They travel the alley.
That's
right. That's where you fucking run into the winners.
That's right.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. You want to bring it home?
One more.
Okay. Let's talk about Flippy the robot, because you're going to be seeing Flippy in a lot more places. Miso Robotics robot French frying and burger flipping maestro.
Oh, no.
His name is Flippy, and it's finding its way into all sorts of restaurants. In fact, White Castle has decided to hire, quote unquote, 100 more Flippies after a successful pilot launch, and we have a little bit of Flippy for you. So they want more Flippies all over the place. In fact, you're going to be seeing them at Buffalo Wild Wings and Jack in the Box. Yeah. And look at that cute little flipper.
Andrew Yang is not fucking happy about this shit.
They dress this thing up in like a chef's smock.
Yeah.
It's Flippy.
Well, look, once... You
would have been out of a job.
I would have been out of a job. If you want it, you can... Hey, politicians, get that fucking minimum wage to $25 an hour. But there ain't going to be jobs.
Put that back up. Put that last phrase.
Minimum wage jobs are going to go away.
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing. Politicians are dumb. People that run businesses are smart. So the politicians go, let's fucking raise that minimum wage. And the smart businesses go, you know what?
Let's just grab him.
We'll just go with Flippy.
Go with Flippy.
I just love that there's going to be someone around me like, yeah, I'm an IT guy at Burger King.
That's right.
I fix the machines when they break down.
Well, that will be, and that guy ain't getting minimum wage. That dude's getting $75 an hour to go over there and maintain those things.
Ben, you just had it. It's the freeze frame at the end. What kind of fucking Bobo in and out, make-believe in and out is this? Cali Burger with the two palm trees?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that. Good call.
Oh, it's good. They couldn't clear it.
What kind of copyright infringement is going on over there?
You're right. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. She is relentless. Gina.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
We need ball pullers in Denver when I go out there coming up this weekend.
Yeah,
Saturday, June 24th, 25th. Yeah.
If you want to be a ball puller this weekend, email us questions@adamcarolla.com. In the subject line, ball puller, Denver. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Matthew's going to be in Winnipeg July 19th through the 23rd. Nice long run over there, and also the podcast. She does stand up, too. It's available wherever you get finer podcasts. Good to see you, my friend. Come back anytime.
Thank you so much.
That was a good time. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. Until next time, it's Adam from Matthew and Gina and Bald and Flippy saying mahalo. Man, I'm such a fucking lazy sack of shit. I should fucking get some exercise. I look like shit in my underpants.
You can watch this episode of the Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at GEICO.com. Go there and get a rate quote. or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.